Well, good morning. I want to thank John for leading that song. It's definitely a message of hope. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you and you want to join in with me to Colossians, the third chapter, here in just a moment I'll begin reading there. And I say a message of hope because I don't know about you, whenever I turn on the television and I watch the news, I don't see hope. I see a lot of hopelessness and despair. I see a lot of negativity things. Announcements at work and everywhere you go, it just seems like something else has happened to someone else, or someone else has contacted something else, or someone else has left the company, or someone has passed away. And everywhere we look, it seems like it's just negative things. And in reality, they make us sad. They make us depressed. And we lose our joy, and we lose our sense of peace because of those things. And we wake up every day, and we want to know, where's the silver lining? We look to the heavens, and we look at the beautiful sunrise or the beautiful sunset, and we say, that's where all my hope is. And we praise God for His creation. And then all of a sudden, we look at the news again. We pick up the social media and we start again looking at those things time and time again, and we just scroll through negativity, and we hear things about family and friends, and it's all about negative things, and we just want that thing that just really brightens our day and give us that sense of hope. And we're losing sight of that, I think. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, we can't meet here as often as we want. Or even externally, we just can't do it. And those things are depressing. Had a great celebration of a friend of ours that just had their baby, and people cannot go and enjoy the baby. Elderly folks that are in the nursing homes, they just have to see people through a window or social media, and that's depressing for them. I haven't seen my grandma in quite some time because of it. And again, that's a moment of depresses. And that's, it seems like it's just, that's what our day evolves anymore. We just go to work in the mundane work, and we just can't find that thing that makes us happy. We can't go to Florida. Don't go to Florida. We can't go somewhere enjoying a vacation, time with our kids, water parks or amusement parks or the zoo or any of those things. We just can't do those things. Sometimes I even see the kids just walking through the house and just kind of just mopey. There's just nothing to do anymore. They did all the crafts. They played all the games. We did all the things that we could do or we normally do. And it's just, what's left? What else do we do? And as an adult, as a parent, I kind of find the same thing sometimes. In Colossians, the third chapter, I want to begin here in verse 1. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning here in verse 1, he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. He says, set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, I'm quite certain that most of you have read that at least once, if not probably 100 times. But how many of us honestly are setting our minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth? And again, our minds are so focused on the here and now, the physical, the negative things that are going on. And again, we want to focus on some positive things. But unfortunately, the way things are, it seems like it's hard to do that. And we wake up with anxiety, we wake up with sadness in our heart. More importantly, what I want to get at today is we wake up depressed. There is no joy. There's no excitement in my life, it seems like, all of a sudden. And many of us actually have that as, I wouldn't want to say a diagnosis because I'm not a doctor, but many of us live a life of depressiveness. You might say, well, Kevin, I've never been depressed in my life. Maybe you haven't been severely depressed, but there's something in your life that has altered your character, altered your response. Maybe you didn't eat for a little while. Maybe you didn't sleep for a little while. But if something in your life has made you not be you, maybe it was the passing of life. If you look at my life and the time that you do get to see me, how many of you would honestly say that I deal with depression? My wife would raise her hand because she knows me. Yesterday was 10 years since my younger brother passed away. Next Saturday will be 1 year since my dad passed away. I don't say that out of sympathy, but this week is going to be pretty tough for me. And my wife already knows that because during this week, during this time, when it happens, I'm quiet. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm quiet. And that is Kevin's sign that he is dealing with something in his mind and in his heart. That's not for her to be fearful, anyone to be fearful of my spiritual well-being or just my overall character, I'm going to backslide or anything like that. It's just an awareness that in my mind, sadness is there, and also in my heart. And for some of you, maybe that's the only time in your life you've ever really experienced a form of depression is when you lost somebody very close to you. For others, you deal with depression every day that you wake up time and time again. Work never seems to be right. My marriage never seems to be right. My kids never seem to be right. Again, everything on the news is negative. I just can't seem to do right as a person. I struggle with alcohol. I struggle with drugs. I struggle with some sort of addiction. I can never get up out of these things. I'm always angry all the time. And just that's my life. And maybe you wake up in that form of fashion. You feel hopeless, you feel worthless, you feel like you don't amount to anything, you don't have anything to credit yourself, that you've done anything well in life or good, and you just feel like a simple failure. And I know tons of people who feel that way. If you look at statistics online of what depression really is, it says that over 300 million people deal with it. That doesn't mean that 300 million people are diagnosed by a doctor and have a prescription. And you might think, well, that's a person who is depressed. No, anyone can have depression in their lives. Again, where you don't feel yourself, self-esteem is extremely low. And you wake up with this sense of hopelessness that you just don't feel yourself. This joy and this excitement that you want to feel. I'm a Christian, I've been baptized, I go to church, and I should be perfect and great, right? I mean, we're going to heaven. We just sung about that. I just don't feel like that, though. I just don't feel like I have God in my life or Jesus in my life. And the reason why that is because we're focusing and dwelling on so many other things other than the things that really matter. We dwell so much on the past. How many of us think about the past, dwell upon the past, things someone did to us years and years ago? My mom, she passed away 3 years ago of mental illness, and her number one challenge was depression. Because she always thought about the things that my dad and her were always a part of. She blamed my dad still that day for stuff he did 20 years ago. And that bothered her then. Folks, you can't change the past. The past is in the past. It is what it is. The only thing you can change is now and in the future. You can't dwell on the past. If they did something to you in the past, I'm sorry. But forgive them and move on. Don't dwell upon the past. It just brings you down to negativity. We dwell upon things that we have no control over. I mean, we worry about things that we have no control over. We think about things that we have no control over. And we focus and we read and we talk about all these things that we have no control over. Why do they do this? How do they do that? And again, those things upset you. And they bother you. And as much as you want to change those things and help those things, you can't. Because you don't have the authority or the power or the ability at all. Maybe you're just not even meant to change that at all. That's them. That's the neighbors. That's the friend. That's another family. That's another congregation. That's another community. That's another workplace. That's somebody in Florida. I don't know. But why does it bother you so much? Because you can't change it. And it doesn't even probably affect you at all. We dwell upon things that are simply not true. We're starting to get all upset about something. I don't know how many times you'll see the news will post an article and you read all these comments and you finally have that one smart person that says, folks, read the headline. Read the article. You got all upset about something. You didn't even read the article. A lot of times in life we hear things and maybe it's something that somebody said or something somebody did and you hear it through the grapevine. It's kind of like the fish story. Why are you dwelling upon that? You have no knowledge of what happened, but it's changing you. How many times do you dwell upon things that even in your relationships, that's simply not true? that you think your spouse did this or said that or is doing this or is doing that. Simply not true. And if it bothers you so much, why don't you confront them and talk about it? Come to the resolution on things. Same way it is with our friends. So many things in our lives occupy our minds and our hearts. And the problem with that is it takes all of our devotion, all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and mind away from God. But we get so absorbed in this physical world and we lose sight of all the good spiritual things in my life. The other day I was sitting on the back porch and I was just dwelling upon things in my life and I just stopped for just a moment. I don't know why I did this, but I did. And I just looked at creation. And I absorbed creation. And I saw the animals do their things, and I saw the wind do its thing, and I saw the grass do its things, and the trees and the leaves do its things. And I thought of life in general. And then again, I kind of thought about my brother who's passed away. And I thought, you know what, he doesn't have to worry about things in this life, but I do. But then again, why am I so worried about things, again, I can't control? And if I look at God's creation, one cool thing about God's creation is that it still moves. Regardless of what's happening in the world and in the media and everything, it still moves in the same way it was designed to move in day one's creation. All right, give you day seven. It all moves and functions the same way. It hasn't changed. Life evolves. Circle of life changes. Seasons come and seasons go. It all is the same, and it's never changed. And how awesome is that? Because that is the glory of our God. And then I thought about all the things that I waste so much time trying to resolve and trying to do and accomplish and all the goals of my life. And I thought, you know what? All the time that we waste so much to gain so little. Think about that. I work so many hours in a given week to obtain what? The time and the sacrifice that it takes my energy, my thoughts, my family time away from them, and all to obtain what? But look at creation. Look at God. And all the time that we spend or waste away from spiritual things doing godly things. Now, you can do godly things and spiritual things while you're at work or in the home or even doing yard work, whatever you're doing. But usually we're not focusing on God in those times. And then again, we waste so much time just thinking about things, dwell upon things, worrying about things. Again, it's all that focus we waste against God. Because we're dwelling upon things in the past and the current, things we can't change, things we don't have control over, when we should be focusing on and dwelling upon God. Because He's always been there. He always will be there for us. He is the hope. He is the joy. This life is not our joy. And if we're striving to find joy in a person or in a thing, you will fail. You will be sad. You will be miserable. Why? Because we're human. We make mistakes. This life is futile. But God is everlasting. He's true. He's perfect. He's love. He is everything for you. He is peace. He's always been there for you, always waiting for you. He's the number one person who's always been there to listen to you when nobody else wanted to. In the moments that you were depressed or you were sad, you were sitting in the car, you were sitting in your bedroom somewhere, you're sitting at workplace, wherever you were by yourself, He has always been there right next to you. Always listening to you. The moments where you were crying out or you were complaining about something, He was the one that was always there with you. Matthew chapter 11. We gain this measure of encouragement that, again, we've read time and time again, but it's always good to hear through our ears. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was trying to give His disciples some encouragement because obviously they were encountering so many things in life. Obviously they were hearing His word and all the commandments and all the things that they were doing, but they were also seeing opposition against them. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." One of the challenges that we see with someone who is dealing with depression is they say, "Kevin, I got what you're saying, but I got this. I'm good. I'm fine." You're not fine. You're not good. Even if you don't want to go to someone to tell them all the things that is on your mind, at least let someone know that you're dealing with something in your heart and your mind, and I at least need your prayers. I would encourage you to go beyond that and let them know the specific things, but at minimum, let them know that I need some encouragement. But at least let them know. A lot of times we don't let people know because we think we can do it on our own. We have these masks that we cover up physically and literally, but we don't want other people to know. We don't want to let other people know that I am dealing with something and that I am not perfect. It's not a bad thing to let someone know that you're going through something dealing with depression. You might say, well, then I'm just a middle nutcase. That's not what it is. It's serious. It's severe. I'll tell you how serious it is. A man named Judas Iscariot dealt with depression, and you know what happened to his life? Read Acts chapter 1. He took his life. Depression is extremely severe in any realm of this world and even in the church. Yes, we have Christ. Yes, we have hope. But if you get caught up in other things, this life, other challenges that you're dealing with, and if you don't know how to deal with those things and overcome those things, unfortunately, many people do the same thing that Judas did. Because again, why? What matter? They had no control over these things. And in the end, they say, you know what? I can do this on my own, and I'm not going to burden somebody with my faults. They've got their problems. I've got mine. You deal with yours, and I'll deal with mine. The problem is we keep failing. The problem is we can't do it on our own. We want to be this perfect parent, right? Don't let our kids see this. And so we do that. We want to be this perfect Christian, right? So we can't let other people see this. And we don't want to let other people know that we're dealing with stuff day in and day out. We don't want to bother them with our problems because we are the servant. We have the servant attitude. That no, I'm supposed to be doing for you. I don't need you to do for me. I'm supposed to be doing for you. And we carry that mindset upon. I'm the perfect parent. You know, I don't know how many women, and God bless you, is they don't worry about themselves. They take care of everybody else. And they're extremely neglected. You know, according to online statistics, depression is more prominent in women than it is men. Seriously. It's also amazingly more prominent between the ages of 12 and 25 than it is any other age. And why is that? You look at the section over here, and I appreciate you guys being here. This group right here, we better keep our eyes on. They're going through so many changes, so many challenges. Their body's changing, mentally it's changing, school's changing, life's changing. They're going up, they're thinking about things, they're looking on online stuff. Everything in their life changes, and in a moment, who you think they are can instantly change into somebody they don't want to be. And it happens that quick. I have confidence you guys are great because of these people. But it's something we have to be very serious about. Because in any given moment, life can change. And it can change for them by all the peer pressures they're going through and all the things that they see online, all the things they want to try and all the things that they want to experience. What they need is the wisdom of the adults to say, look, no, that's not the path to go. Here's the correct path. And here's how you do it. I want us to look at another example real quickly, and I know I'm starting to get long in my time here, but Acts chapter 16, I want to pull out something specific. I'll try to bring things to a close this morning. In Acts chapter 16, another, again, a prominent event here. Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel, and because of that, obviously, they were thrown into prison. In Acts chapter 16, I want to begin here in verse 22. Acts 16 and verse 22 says, the crowds rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them. Again, talking about Paul and Silas. And proceeding to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to guard them securely. And having received such a commandment, they threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourselves, for we are all here." And he called for the lions and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to them together and all who were in his house. And he took them at that very hour of the night and washed their robes. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set foot before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Again, many of you have studied this before and you've talked about this before. But one thing that we look at predominantly in this is the fact that even in the pit of a jail cell in the bottom in the dark dungeon, Paul and Silas were singing and praising God. Folks, in your life, whatever you're dealing with, how many times have you ever found yourselves singing and praising God in the midst of despair and depression? Truth be told, we look for other avenues to help us with these things. We look to alcohol. That was prominent in my home. That's what they did. They were all depressed. They turned to alcohol. And so many people do that. The challenge with alcohol, one of the many challenges with alcohol, is that it just hides it. It just masks it. It covers it up. It gets you to not think about that for the moment, but it doesn't solve the problem. Same way with drugs. But in his case, he said here, he was praising God and singing God. He wasn't looking at his present situation. They took everything away from him. They took everything physical away from Paul and Silas, but the one thing they couldn't steal from them was their peace. And what they chose to do with, again, no outlook, they didn't know here in just a moment an earthquake was going to happen. They didn't know that they would be broken free here just a moment by the power of God, but they were singing praises and they were praising God in their situation. A moment that I would probably start crying because I'm away from my family, I would be depressed. They were singing to God and they were praising Him. And it was because of that that God delivered their present situation. What I'm encouraging you to think about today is whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're sorrowful in, whatever you're sad about, whatever's depressing your life, praise God and sing to Him. Wherever you are, whatever you do, in that moment, sing to God and praise God. Praise Him for who He is, what He has done, the fact that He's loved you, He's always been there for you, He will deliver you. And at the end of this life, when it all doesn't matter, you stand firm, you know in the end, you're going to heaven. That is what Paul knew and Silas knew. You could take everything away from me, but there's one thing you cannot take, and I'm not going to give it to you, and that is my salvation. That is my peace. And what did he do in return? He sung to God and he praised to God. Now, think about this for just a moment. What then takes place? You think about, okay, it's the deliverance of Paul and Silas. No, it wasn't just that. It was the deliverance of another man who was depressed, who was captivated. He's called the jailer. He takes out a sword. He wants to kill his life. Do you think that's the only problem and challenge that jailer had at the moment? Probably not. But he was fearful that they find out that he's delivered and he's broke free and there's no explanation. They're going to kill me. So I'm just going to do it myself. There's no lights, there's no way that anyone can know about this man, but he takes out this sword, he gets ready to kill himself, and Paul says, "Hold on a second, we're here, don't do this." When I read that statement, it made me think about something. We are here. No, hold on a second. I am here. It's not just that we are here. I am here, and I'm here for you. What just happened wasn't for me. What God did here for just a moment wasn't about Paul and Silas. It was about that man. And as you continue reading, it was about his family. What God wants to do in your life is he wants to deliver you as you sing to him and praise to him. And it's not just about you, but it's going to be about someone else in your life. And you have no idea who it is or when it's going to happen. And I promise you that. God has used me in so many different ways in my life because if I just trust Him and I just follow Him, God's going to use me in such a way to encourage somebody else. If we stop looking at our present situation, if we stop dwelling about things we have no control over, and we just sing to God and we just praise to God, He will deliver us. He will rescue us. And when other people look at your life and they say, Kevin, you were so captivated, you were such in change in your life, how is it that you live so happy and free and joyful all the days of your life? They've already known the answer because you were already singing and you were already praising God, and they will say the same thing, I want that. You had the opportunity to leave them there. Our God is an awesome God. He is an amazing God. And He has always been there for us. And our response to Him should always be and always will be to praise Him. Please allow me to read two more verses real quick. In Philippians, the fourth chapter. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning here in verse 4. Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning here in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Many of you have lost your peace. Many of you are uneasy. And the reason why you lost your peace is because you allowed someone else or something to take it away from you. I get caught up to think, why is it so much do we allow other people to affect so much how we think and how we feel and how we respond, all because of their negativity? Don't let them steal your peace. The God of peace is with you and He will always be with you. But we are also given a charge to do things. We're given a charge to rejoice in God. We're also given a charge to give thanks to God. We're also given a charge to praise God and pray to God. And if we do that, the God of peace will always be with you. And you will have peace in your heart everlasting. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll close this morning. I appreciate your patience. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Our God is an amazing God, and He's a strong God, and He can defeat anything and anyone. When Satan tries to rise up against you to bring you down, to get you to think that you are worthless and hopeless, you are not. And the reason why I know that you're not, and the reason why I know that He cares for you, the reason why I know how important you are to Him, is because that He allowed His Son to die for you. He paid the price for you. And as you wake up in your life and you feel like you're depressed, and you feel like nothing in this world matters, and you feel like everything is against you, and you feel hopeless, you feel that self-esteem is extremely low, and your rejoicing is gone, your peace is gone, God loves you. He always has and He always will. And nothing will rise up against you that He cannot defeat. But the only person that can defeat you is you. But folks, I'm here to tell you, as one who can sympathize with your weakness, I too have dealt with it. But I'm also here for one to help you. If you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you just send me a text, say, Kevin, just please pray for me. That's all that matters. That's all it needs. I certainly will. Anyone in this group, anyone in this building will do the same thing. Let the elders know. Let Philip know. Everyone will help you. Don't be embarrassed to think about you're the only one that deals with this. To where at some point in your life, you go the opposite direction. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." God is with you. Don't forget that. When the world seems like it's not, when people in your life seem like they're not with you, God is with you. He always has been and he always will be. And he has power and dominion over all things. That is your God. Jesus died for you. In other words, don't forget who you are. You are his sons and you are his daughters. You belong to him. You are his children. You are a part of who he is. That is who you are. Praise God. Rejoice for God. And as you go out these doors, carry with that mere fact that he's my God, he's my King, and I am his child. And it's because of that that I have peace in my heart, knowing that when this life is extremely over, guess where I get to go? It's a peace that passes understanding, right? It's the greatest thing that can happen to a person is to have Jesus Christ in their life. Be baptized. Give your life to him. Come forward. Say, "I need some prayers. I just need some strength. I just need some sort of help." Please come forward now as we stand and sing.